right. Good morning, lovely people. You are, as of right now, this very moment, kicking off your weekend with Kickstand Comedy here on X-Ray FM. And you are listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 FM, K296 FT West Haven, serving Portland at 107.1 FM, and K219 KU Nehalem, serving the Oregon coast at 91.7 FM. Streaming live and archived at xray.fm. The radio is yours. And I'm your host, Anthony Opasensky, and I am joined this very morn, this May 8th.
May the 8th be with you,
by the wonderful Dylan Reif.
Hello.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello. Gosh, what a May 8th.
What a May 8th.
I
mean, already.
Off.
Wow. It's sunny, I think. I tried a new allergy medicine last night, so we'll see how it goes today.
It's just been a week packed full of holidays, obviously.
Obviously.
May the 4th be with you.
Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th, yeah. A.K.A. Cinco de Mayo.
Yep.
For all you Jedi heads out there, this is quite a
huge week. Huge week.
Yeah.
Are you a Star Wars?
Well, let's just put it this way. Put some teeth under the pillow for Grogu this week.
Whoa.
Cross my fingers. He'd deliver, but...
He's been making the rounds?
Yeah.
As a part of the promo?
No, sorry. I put a bunch of Baby Yoda teeth under my pillow.
Oh, baby teeth.
Baby teeth under my pillow. Grogu came and harvested them to make lightsabers.
Oh, that's how... See, they never go into that lore.
They talk
really
about midichlorians like a little too much, but I want to know how the sausage of a lightsaber gets made.
Exactly. Because it is signed up. They have a casing that they put over a machine. Because that's why it's kind of a sausage shape.
Yeah.
So they kind of stuff the...
I think they have to stuff the pure light and laser beam into some sort of casing to form it, and then they remove the casing, and it stays in the same form factor.
Yeah, and that's...
And
that's
science.
Star
Wars.
That's science, hey, baby. That's what you do.
That's Star Wars.
That's how it's done.
No, when I was a kid, I was a big, big Star Wars person.
Yeah.
But it's... And I think just like every generation, you kind of... Well, I came of age, or I was like a kid when Return of the Jedi. Like, that was the first one I could like process as a human moving through the world.
Yeah.
And so I was big Ewok kid. And I think there's a... Very similar to the generation of Jar Jar and heads. You know, the people that gravitated towards the kiddier side of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What was your first movie that you remember seeing?
That's a great question.
Because mine was Phantom Menace.
Oh, wow.
And I'm in theaters.
Yeah.
I think I remember watching, like, Bambi and some of the Disney movies before.
I have some memories of, like...
Like, in theaters.
Most of my in-theater memories are somewhat trauma-adjacent.
Sure.
So, like, Batman Returns. The first Batman. I remember seeing the first Batman... And my mom flipped out because it was too violent for her, and so she had to leave the theater.
Right.
So I remember that.
Did you also have to leave the theater?
No. For some reason, I was I was left in my seat to watch the punches. But that so I remember Batman, Tim Burton Batman.
Okay, that was gonna say
So that's 89.
Yeah, that's Keaton.
Keaton.
Oh, was he in two?
No.
Right.
Wait. Yes. Yes, he's in one and two.
Wow.
He's the OG.
Move over Nolan.
Yeah.
And then we move on. I mean, the next one.
Keaton.
Clooney with
Coming
Nichols.
Right off Mr. Mom. He's ready for anything.
Yeah.
Hot. That was an early movie memory. And then my own trauma was like seeing Roger Rabbit in theater. Who Framed? Who Framed Roger Rabbit? But there's a very scary moment at the end for someone who can't understand that a movie's not real.
Right.
Christopher Lloyd's character.
Spoiler alert.
Spoil this for people.
I get it.
Right,
if you say it in code,
his character seems to be unalived.
Oh.
And this is also going to be good for socials now.
Right.
So,
We can post this. No, I'm recording and we'll get the algorithm.
But
hot.
And he may or may not be a toon.
Right.
And so he comes up He's rolled over by a bulldozer,
yeah, naturally,
which is already traumatic.
Right.
And then
yeah.
He flops up as a two-dimensional,
kind of, yeah, okay, right.
Being.
Right.
And
at that
it's
point.
Scary as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother, for a yeah. for a 7-year-old, yeah. that is yeah. nightmare.
The, you're not ready. You're not ready for the twists.
No,
there.
It was a lot. So yeah. Those are my two. But I guess isn't that why we go to the cinema?
That's why these
to
films.
Feel something?
That's art. That's yeah. art, baby.
We,
that's
we
why you do it.
Come here to feel, to love, whatever Nicole Kidman says. That's how I was feeling,
right,
as a young child.
Right.
But no, I mean, I those are the two in theaters. I also remember I went to Willow in theaters, which is a movie I
right.
was obsessed with as
right.
a kid. For listeners who are, you know, humans under the age of 40, Willow is basically a Lord of the Rings knockoff that Ron Howard directed. But
who else? That doesn't have, like, Jim Henson stuff, does?
It has really great visual effects.
Right. It's like
the
great practical effects.
I do believe that there is some Jim Henson, the yeah. puppet of
right.
this creature,
right.
Which is very realistic,
yeah.
Is a Henson creation.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they worked with them. But Willow is like
Willow.
Classic Lord of the Rings knockoff.
I don't know if
Val
I've seen
Kilmer
it.
Is in
yeah.
it. Warwick Davis. Who,
right. Star Wars connection.
Wicket,
yeah.
The Ewok Wicket.
Yep.
And yeah, so it's a really wonderful
Willow,
movie that
yeah.
I watched a ton. But I remember seeing it in theaters because I had Whoppers for the first time.
Whoa!
And I ate myself sick.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
I could not. I was just like, I've never eaten anything like this, and I
right.
had so many malted milk balls that I malted, and I had to go
right.
to the bathroom and throw up a bunch.
Yeah, that'll happen. I mean, has that stained your?
Yeah, I don't eat Whoppers.
You don't eat Whoppers
yeah.
ever since.
Rarely. I'll like do a teaser, tester, taster.
One of those little like three Whopper tubes
yeah,
you get on Halloween.
Yeah, maybe I'll do one, but no, I
interesting.
It's,
a lot of people don't like Whoppers.
That's my story for I don't do that because I had a weird experience.
Right,
as a kid.
Right, right. And that, you know, it's interesting, your first and almost last time.
Yeah,
living
a Whopperless life has been a hurdle that most people couldn't
right.
come back from.
Right. But you did.
Some would argue
some,
I've never
some
did.
Argue I've never been the same since.
I'm still, unfortunately, under the thumb of a Whopperless existence.
Yeah, I mean, aren't we all
yeah.
in some capacity? If you live a Whopperless existence or have a memory of a first movie in the theater...
Or candy that made you throw
or
up.
Or candy that made you throw up. You can text in at 971-220-KXRY. That is 971-220-5979. It's always intriguing because you're a film fan.
I am a film fan. I love the cinema.
The cinephile.
I watch tons of movies whenever I can. It's one of my great joys.
Yeah, I know you're a big Gremlins fan.
I am a huge Gremlins
and
fan, specifically Gremlins 2.
Okay, so I saw Gremlins 1 for the first time recently, like
awesome.
Within the last year. 2 is worth the watch.
Oh, brother, if you want to sit down and let me spin a yarn, but Gremlins 2, it's you're in for a completely different experience.
Because I was surprised at Gremlins 1. More of a, what, did we watch it as a Christmas movie?
I mean, it qualifies it,
right.
as much as anything else.
Right. More
it's
than Die Hard, I would say.
This is like the most boring. This is like a conversation that was manufactured in like
yep.
a Tinder bio,
yeah.
like development app,
yeah.
where it's just like, hey,
what
you know what
for
a good
the bots?
Icebreaker is for bots to talk to bots, whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie,
yeah.
but
yeah,
anything that's at Christmas is a
yeah.
totally
anything
fine
you watch Christmas during Christmas is a Christmas movie.
Take it from this Jewish adult.
Yeah.
This is right. all there. It's all Christmas
it's
to
all
me.
It's all Christmas
baby.
To me. December.
But yeah, Gremlins really
yeah.
obviously hit, unexpected hit
right.
for Joe Dante.
Right.
The studio didn't believe in it, and yet
boom.
It prevailed, and they immediately wanted a sequel. Joe Dante was just like,
kind of wrapped it up in this one.
Yeah, didn't really, this was a self-contained this film. This was it. There really isn't any more story. And the studio kept pushing and kept pushing, and they hired other directors, and they went other places, and they said, we're making this no matter what, and they couldn't... this was back in the day where if you couldn't crack the story, the movie didn't get made.
Right.
Which is not necessarily the case now.
Fair enough.
Now it's like if you don't crack the tech company tie-in that's funding the film,
it
won't get made. But it was a long process that eventually led to them going back to Joe Dante. And they were like, Joe, we need a sequel. We will let you have full creative control to do whatever you want as long as there's a Mogwai in it and you bring back Zach Galligan and Phoebe Cates, the two stars.
Right.
He's like, yeah, let me think on it. And it's a rare opportunity to have total
carte blanche.
So he made truly the most insane thing possible.
Love it.
And it is a really like self-referential, postmodern... tearing down the building from within of what a Gremlins movie could look like. So
I love it. What a rave review.
Hey, you know, this is a... I've dedicated too much of my life to fanboying for this.
And is there a Gremlins 3?
Funny you should ask. In production currently.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, they
original involvement?
Joe's blessing.
Okay.
I don't know if he wrote it, but I know he will be involved.
Okay. And that's, I feel like, I don't want to say they might be getting better at some of these revamps.
There have been some categories of like, definitely like, relaunch and remakes that are that definitely connect with me.
Right.
There are some that are connect with me but are intensely procedural.
Right.
Like they were made in a lab
to hit
my endorphin buttons.
Yeah.
And then there's still a lot of crappy ones. But.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited for I'm gonna go see Mortal Kombat 2 tonight.
Oh baby.
And I am truly beyond excited. Yeah. It's a great year, honestly, for I need to be better about watching more quality.
Like Mortal Kombat.
Films. Too. Yeah, I mean, well, listen, I was a huge Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Talking to one of the men that died on the beaches of Mortal Monday.
Yes.
Waiting outside EB.
Shouts out EB.
I was a real Mortal Kombat obsessive.
Yeah.
Because you saw it in the arcade first. Yeah. There will be blood.
And
I was truly obsessed. Couldn't wait to get the bloodless version for the Super Nintendo.
For the type of movies that I apparently will draw me to the theater, fantastic year.
We
got Mortal Kombat 2, He-Man.
Dude, movies are back.
Listen.
Hey, if you're an adult boy,
movies are back. Street Fighter coming out later this year. Listen. So yeah, you got my. Of course, like I haven't seen Begonia. I haven't seen any of the other Oscar nominated, but I should.
Yeah,
I'm going on a long flight soon, so it's a balance of like what
movies on a plane.
Yeah,
you couldn't create a more perfect scenario for me.
So what is your strategy for a movie watching or a long?
What is the most graphic thing that my the neighboring seat will be like? Is he watching something?
Yeah. How can I try? Like a lot of times I go, oh, they'll show this on a plane, huh?
Yeah.
This
how can I break the social contract of sitting next to someone through nudity or violence?
Right. How can I traumatize this back in kitty corner? This child who is sitting.
Yeah. My actual answer is like I usually go for tearjerkers on a plane.
Really?
There's something cathartic about an emotional cleanse in a vacuum where I don't care about any of these people. They don't have any investment in me.
Right.
I can be sitting sobbing in a middle seat and lives in that moment on that plane.
Right.
You
might have also given someone a story.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, they can say,
this person next to me was
this freaky, long-haired, middle-aged weirdo who was just crying the whole
time
watching
Toy Story 5.
Yeah, Toy Story.
I didn't know they released it yet. It was the fourth one.
But no, I like a good plane cry.
Yeah, interesting.
A lot of family dramas.
Right.
They'll have some cool indie films or they something will. That I yeah. didn't catch in yep. theaters or yep. wasn't didn't have access to or it wasn't around yep. for a long time. So I try to take advantage of the yeah. periphery of the yep. Alaska Air yes. app.
Yeah. It really it's always the ones you would go, "Oh yeah. I wanted to watch yeah. that."
Yeah. I will watch that biopic.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I always end up it's usually all the again it's like the bad movies that I didn't ever watch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, I'm trapped here, so I'll
Yeah, I'll knock out a bad movie, no problem. I'm going to watch Michael 3 times on my next flight. I cannot wait to dive into the truth and the history.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's...
so excited for this movie. Can't wait. For those of you, if you've seen Michael, don't tell me any spoilers.
No spoilers.
I cannot wait to see it.
What is your thought on the... Because there was a big musical biopic trend. Mm-hmm. Which this seems to be almost on the tail end.
Oh, they all suck. Yeah. They're bad. They're all bad, but I will watch them. I like them.
Yeah. They're going after a very specific time period. I think they're targeting a very specific audience with, like, Queen, Elton John, and now
yeah.
Michael Jackson.
To me, it's just like they all come out before Mother's Day. They're all, like, they're very, like, planned and intentional Damn. Around, like, this is, like, fun for the family, right. Gather around.
All your favorite music.
Yeah.
All your mom's favorite music.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a little bit of overcoming some odds and some traumas, but not anything too intense.
Right.
What was this one that came out at Christmas? The Christmas is the other time, the Sing Song Blues or whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, and he's a Neil Diamond impersonator or something.
Oh. I know. I don't know the name
of
it. To me,
this is the same category. This is all the same thing. It's not. Music.
Oh, they did a Bruce Springsteen one, too.
Relationships, yeah. Oh, that one was not released during Christmas or Mother's Day and went nowhere.
I forgot that I... Yeah. Speaking of Hugh Jackman, Sheep Detective.
Oh.
Let me tell you.
Name alone, I'm in.
I'm in. I mean...
It's got to be top five movies about sheep. Wallace and Gromit. Okay. Wallace and Gromit, the other one, then a third, then a fourth, and then probably Sheep Detective.
I mean, I would have to say top three. On the podium.
Clearly on my Mount Rushmore of sheep-related films.
Yes, yes. I mean, that, to me, you have the name. Like, someone was, they heard, like, they were walking and heard two different conversations. One that was like, sheep. And then it was like, detective. Whoa.
What if we put those two things together?
Yeah, what about Sheep
Detective? What would happen then, do you think?
Yeah, and then they were on it for like 5 years. They're like, "No, Sheep Detective." And everyone was like, "I just don't think there's a movie there." He's like, no, Sheep Detective.
Well, he probably got all of his friends together. They got all their friends together. Right. They sat in a room. They started to like generate ideas like, okay, is the sheep the detective?
Right.
Is it a detective of sheep? Yeah. So I think there was probably a rich process that we'll find on the DVD extras.
I mean, that's what, the special features. Yep. I think they're trying to, I've heard through my contacts in the industry that they're trying to do kind of like an extended edition, like a Lord of the Rings kind of like 9+ hours of just kind of the process.
Oh, I hear that too. I heard that Stephen Colbert and his son are writing the
co-writing. The prequel. Film. Yeah, it's not a prequel, but it's like an adjacent story.
Yeah,
it's in the same universe.
It's them bringing the sheep's magnifying glass back to the sheep detective. Years after his death, lay on his grave.
Yeah, and it's going to be a touching tribute. They're going to bring back most of the same actors, but then I think change a pretty integral one.
Oh, for sure. And for the listeners that we've spent the last 30 minutes alienating, we're talking about the new...
There you go.
We're vaguely having a laugh at the new Lord of the Rings movie that Stephen Colbert and his son are writing. This can't be a good idea. A Lord of the Rings prequel can't be a good idea.
Yeah, but because it's a side story, which I think is written about. I think it's one of the ones that Tolkien's son put together, like from his notes.
Oh, really?
Because it is a story. Because before,
so they're adapting it before they're not just writing it freehand.
No, because there's a story where Aragorn did track Gollum for, I think, at the request of Gandalf for, like...
Okay, you lost me.
For a long time.
If this exposition is in the film, it's not for me.
Colbert does love Lord of the Rings.
I mean, that's awesome, but, like...
Has he written a movie?
I will just say, the plot of all the boys getting back together to, like, visit the grave, this is the movie Wild Hogs.
Right.
This is already been made... This has been made many times, and
there were two Wild Hogs.
They did not do it great.
There were two Wild Hogs.
This is not a good movie, but like I'd rather see everyone getting on their bikes. So if there are motorcycles, I'm back in.
I think
I'm back in on this Lord of the Rings project.
It's been talked about.
Yeah.
Because it kind of like Gandalf rides in on Shadowfax, his horse.
Yeah.
And then Frodo pulls up on a ripping hog. And he's like, show this the meaning of haste, Gandalf. And then he's like, couple of horses.
He walks into the bar and he's like, I need your clothes.
Yeah. And then also that happens. Yeah. Yeah. So also, if you know, I know there are movie execs listening.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, we have some ideas. You can reach out, text in if you have any great movie ideas. 971-220-KXRY. 971-220-5979. And that's what we do on Kicking Off Your Weekend with Kickstand Comedy. We generate phenomenal ideas.
Oh, when I'm here, we're really kicking out some great film ideas.
The idea machine,
cinema magic,
is a churning, incredible.
But anyways, can't wait to see Michael.
Right? Wow. I mean,
phenomenal. I wish I'd been front row opening night. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it.
Life gets in the way sometimes.
Life gets in the way. But I will be. I'm going to be every screening this week at Studio One. Mm-hmm. You can find me front row seat.
Sobbing.
Say hi. Sobbing.
Sobbing. Crying.
Sobbing into like my steak frite or whatever.
Yeah, that's served on a,
dude,
on
they
a
try to upsell
chunk
you.
Of wood.
They try to upsell you hard at Studio One.
Studio One is the one off Powell.
Off Powell.
Okay.
They come in there immediately like, have you seen our 400-item menu?
Yeah.
And these couches that people
Would you
have
like a full omakase experience?
Yeah, it's
like
truly
how you're in a dark room.
And then you walk in, and these are... It feels like the Oregon Theater just moved.
Yeah.
Because it's all just couches where you can do stuff, and people are.
I have only been to that place once.
Yeah.
And I was not... I get the vibe they're trying to curate, not in a public place.
I love it. It is the funniest experience. Like, if I want to have meta comedic experience watching a film, that's where I will go for sure. Because the movies, they have the decent curation of what they show there. There's always mainstream stuff, some weirdo stuff. But the fact that, like, there's someone just, like, sucking shrimp. Off of a skewer, while two other
tail
people
on too. You get a double, so you get the skewer suck, and then they're kind of trying to clean that bad boy out.
Oh, definitely. So, someone's cleaning a fish in the back, and they have their little hibachi. There's a hot pot station.
Yeah,
and then there's just another couple that's just like getting 3/4 of the way to full intimacy.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the couch that I'm gonna sit on next time I'm there.
Yeah.
So anyway, shout out to Studio One. Can't wait to see Michael. For any X-ray listeners who want to come hang out with me.
Boom.
On
every showing.
Stiff couch.
Every showing.
Yeah, come on out.
Also, we got there. I don't remember if we pre-bought specific seats.
I don't know that you can.
Which is wild because their seating is so erratic.
Yeah.
Because we...
There's like, here's a toadstool and a wheelbarrow. Just pick whichever one fits your mood.
Exactly. And we saw The Green Knight.
Oh, interesting movie.
There. Yeah.
It's already so psychedelic that being in a space that seems like you're already on drugs is a good way to
and
set
the tone. we took a love seat that was there, but the two friends that we were with had to sit on like a big beanbag.
Oh,
like a two-person beanbag.
They're married now. And
they actually are. So
this
I wanna,
is the plan.
Yes.
Studio One, keep doing what you're doing.
Bringing people together, honestly. Forced by a love sack.
Love sack.
Yeah.
The love sack is a little old place.
That's Studio One. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your movie news you can use.
Yep. And brought to you by... Kicking off your weekend with Kickstand Comedy here on X-Ray FM. We're talking movies. We're talking it all. Another thing that everybody wants to hear about, near and dear to your heart, the Wolves of Timber.
Oh.
We'll talk. This is Sports Hour.
Oh, yeah, we're moving. This is
kicking off your weekend with Kickstand Sports.
Dudes and dudes.
Just two dudes.
Yeah, it's the NBA playoffs. And
everybody knows it. Everybody loves it.
We find ourselves, unfortunately,
tied up.
Shout out to the Blazers.
Wow.
You went further than you should have.
Yeah.
It was
very
exciting,
apparent.
Exciting, fun ride to be on. But you definitely got sunned by the Spurs.
Yep.
And I find my hometown team, I am a longtime suffering Minnesota Timberwolves fan who has found recent favor with the basketball gods. Anthony Edwards has been a revelation. And if you don't like basketball, you can still enjoy watching Anthony Edwards.
He is cinema, for sure.
Both the way he plays, but also just listen to his interviews.
Yeah.
He's the funniest. He is by far the funniest NBA player currently.
He's definitely the most free with his personality. You can also catch him on... There's a documentary series on Netflix called Starting Five.
Yeah.
In the first season, it is featured. And you can really see him... at the beginning of the series, he has a kid. You can really see him dodge responsibility.
Yeah.
That entire series, front and center.
You know, hey...
Incredible.
I'm not here to hold anybody's feet up to the fire. We all have many kids,
right?
That, you know,
we all pay child support
amongst us
up front.
But he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's a great basketball player, and the Minnesota Timberwolves they psychically disassembled the Denver Nuggets. They played them off the court. They were in their head. Their defense was tenacious. And now
tenacious.
It is tied 1-1 in their next series against the Spurs, who felled the Portland Trailblazers. So part of this is we're getting revenge for Portland.
Right. And that's the key tie-in here.
Yeah.
Is it going back to Minnesota?
It is. So
right.
We are now back in Minnesota, tied 1-1. We stole a game off their home court.
First game. Game one, too.
Game one. Big game. And we won't talk about the second game. That one wasn't...
I think...
We did get blown out by 40 points.
Right, right. I mean, you weren't... What is it? I think the Hawks were down by 50 at one point. So there are worse performances.
But I will say that is not the basketball news this week.
Ooh.
Portland, the basketball news this week is your Portland Fire season opener tomorrow.
Yep.
We have a WNBA team.
Very exciting.
I'm so excited about the Portland Fire. I'm going to be there.
Nice.
And I hope to see.
I hope it's packed.
It's going to be packed.
I think that team is going to be. Because the Thorns are like one of the highest average attendance, if not the highest average attendance of a women's soccer team.
Portland,
I think,
is
in the world.
Uniquely positioned to be a leading women's sports city.
I think that's going to be the best crowd in the WNBA.
We already are.
Yeah.
And we have. Ownership that is owns both teams, so the Fire and the Thorns, same ownership.
Right.
And we have the Sports Bra, which is a women's sports bar.
Yeah.
It's exclusively, which is unique in the country. We have a fan base.
Yep.
We have
it's gonna be awesome.
We have buy-in. Like this is a women's sports town, and the Fire are gonna have. Probably an up and down season, but they're thinking
it's an expansion team.
They're thinking long term. Mm-hmm. They're making moves for the future, and I'm excited to be there the whole.
And we get the I-5 rivalry back.
Yeah,
from the
Seattle
which hopefully
Storm.
The Supersonics do come back to the NBA. But we got the
Seattle got the expansion team for the NBA, so they will have a team again.
Hopefully, yes. I don't. Anyway, I don't trust owners. I don't trust billionaires.
Yeah.
Well, but
we can talk about the Blazers another time. But
he
seems
he's acting like a millionaire. You know, not a billionaire, not a billionaire. But the Fire is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be the best crowd in the WNBA.
Yeah,
for sure, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure the coach for the Fire.
Uh huh.
I'm pretty sure I met / might have played basketball with when I was I spent a year abroad in Nottingham, England.
Wow, the naughty naughty.
The naughty naughties, as we were called. And he was he was involved there. And I was like, that name looks really familiar.
He was involved in Nottingham's comings and goings.
Yeah, he was. I think he played when he was at the. I don't remember exactly.
So the UK many moons has ago. Nottingham has a basketball team?
Like the university club team, essentially. And, yeah.
Because when you hear about Euro basketball, I'll just say Nottingham doesn't come up.
No,
a lot.
True. You're not wrong. They do have one of the oldest football Footy. Clubs in the country, I think. And they now have been moved up. They were like at a bottom league when I was there, but now I think they're moved up to the Champions or Premier League.
This starts to go Nottingham into Forest. An area where I know very little
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I understand that, you know, they're professional soccer teams or football teams. They can
move up.
Yeah, move up or down mm-hmm, in the ranks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's like different levels.
Yep. Just watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you everything you need to know.
Big plug for this little show called Ted Lasso.
New season coming out.
Probably haven't heard of it, but you're here first.
Boom. Check it out. Credit us with your viewing of it.
Yeah, but I'm excited for. Yeah, the Fire, their GM is also the GM that was on the Golden State Valkyries.
Oh, okay.
Which was a team, an expansion team, the most recent expansion team. Playoffs their first year.
Ooh.
Best record of any expansion team in the WNBA.
Ooh.
And
notably
so,
tough to be an expansion team.
Yeah, it's tough. As someone who has been a longtime Minnesota Timberwolves fan, and been there since their expansion team draft.
Was it in the 90s?
No, they're
80s. Or was it 80s? Okay. 80s and then they got KG. And,
yeah, that's really when I came on board. Right.
Was he 96?
No, not part of it.
94.
So he was drafted in 94.
Put him on the map.
Yep.
And then
greatest NBA player of all time, Kevin Garnett.
Wow, interesting.
All time.
If you have a greatest player, NBA player of all time, 971-220-5979.
Yeah. And the Lynx are also back. The WNBA, boom. Minnesota's WNBA team.
Minnesota's back, people are saying.
They're hey, you know what? They're saying we're back.
They're saying we're
back.
I'm thinking I'm back. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'll be at all the Fire and Lynx games for sure.
For sure.
Can't wait. And I need more WNBA buddies. So if you're listening,
boom.
Let's go hang and watch some games.
There you go. And because what sports are you gonna watch in the summer too? These are prime
ultimate. Yeah, think again.
Something else that happens in the Olympics aren't happening.
I'm gonna go to the park and watch these slackline bozos.
Come on, I could be watching prime.
Catch me at Moda.
Boom. Hitting the three goggles are coming back.
Oh yeah, that'll be nice.
That'll be nice. Well, we can take a short musical break, get some music going, and we will be back shortly to kick off your weekend with Kickstand Comedy here on X-Ray FM. We'll be back in a few.
I feel it move, I feel it in. It's sad to see how much you changed. I slip into a cold lake. Now I just feel it slip away. Softer as I start to sing, the trees were sexing orange. important to us like whatever. We'll defuse bombs, walk marathons, and take on whatever together.
and you are kicking off your weekend with Kickstand Comedy here on X-Ray FM KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. The radio is yours.
And coming back, nice couple songs there.
Yep.
Samande, Brothers on the Slide, you just heard. I am so excited to see them at Blues Fest this summer. I got to see them last year.
Ooh.
Blew my dang socks off.
Ooh.
So fun.
Okay.
And rare until recently to see them in the U.S. So
really?
Go check out
Samande.
UK.
UK. Okay.
But yeah, I'm stoked that they're touring and
good groups.
Had a packed show at the Aladdin. Was super fun.
So. How was the Aladdin as a music?
Oh, the best.
Venue? Yeah.
Dude, Aladdin rules.
Yeah.
It's just like
I've only seen it as like a comedy adjacent.
Yeah. No, it's great. Never not a bad seat in the place.
Yeah. That is nice. My
parking a nightmare.
Right. You plan for that.
No, I'm excited to get back out to Blues Fest next month or
July, right?
Yeah, July.
Yeah.
So
at the waterfront.
Yeah.
Love it. I don't know if I've ever actually been to that.
Institution.
It is. Speaking of comedy adjacent
institutions.
Here we're a part of one, Kickstand Comedy, which you know a thing or two.
I've heard good things.
I mean, it's,
I got to check it out one of these
days. One of these days I'll make it there. But you have a little show coming up at that institution.
Yeah. I, as well as some other very wonderful and funny people, produce a show called The Dinner Party.
Mm-hmm.
And The Dinner Party is an improvised dinner party, a gathering with food. Kind of a celebration of food and comedy. We call it a feast of comedy.
Ooh, what a tagline.
If you're into food, if you like to laugh, like this is a great show for you to check out. It is sold out, but there are limited tickets available at the door. So this is going to be tonight at 8:30 at Kickstand Comedy. It is, we do essentially... stories from a local culinary guest, someone either a chef, someone from the culinary world, a food influencers.
Pizza was last.
Yeah,
time,
we
right?
had Candy Yu from Turning Peel Pizza. She was amazing.
Yeah.
So wonderful, so like heartfelt and fun and funny, and told lots of stories of her kind of ascension to pizza royalty here in Portland.
Yeah.
And stories from her childhood, and then we get inspired by the stories, and that is our jumping off point to create a 35-40 minute improvised dinner party. And
love
so
it.
We're gonna weave ideas, specifics, things that stood out to us from the stories into characters, ideas, places.
Boom.
And you're gonna see the 7 or 8 of us play the same characters for the whole time.
It's a mono scene?
Yeah. It's what's called a mono scene, which
is incredible.
Really just a very long improv scene where people will come and go.
So much fun, though.
But it's all the same timeline.
Right.
So you're going to get to hang out with these characters, really get to know them, see their different relationships.
And all scripted, obviously.
Fully
kind of written down.
It is unscripted. It is improvised. We make it up on the spot.
Incredible.
It's never been done before. It'll never be done again. That's improv, baby. And I got to say, we have a really awesome guest for this month's dinner party show. Another Portland comedy royalty and food royalty.
You keep getting them.
It is Bill Oakley. Bill Oakley, Simpsons showrunner, Futurama writer, and now in this next act of their career, a real go-to person for food content.
Wow.
So Bill does esteemed Hammies Awards every year.
Wow.
Where they're designating some of their favorite snacks and fast food from around the country.
Love it.
Just a really wonderful, very funny, very thoughtful, and accessible food celeb.
Yeah.
So
I mean, good, incredible get.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're getting high Getting the heavy hitters.
We're getting heavy hitters, wow, man. And if you're in the culinary scene, hit me up. If you want to do the show, the dinner party,
boom,
we would love to have you. If you run a food cart, if you're a chef, if you're a food influencer, mm-hmm, or writer, like, hit me up. Dylan, I'm at BrotoFraggins on, mm-hmm, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can hit up at DinnerPartyPDX.
Love
and,
it.
And, yeah, that's what we do. It's going to be a great show. Like I said, it is sold out. But
right. But there will be more.
There will be more. And also, like, still come. I bet right. you'll get a seat. If you get there early.
There are tickets at the door.
Yes.
Usually
limited tickets. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be yes. very fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Bill's like a hero.
Right. Top-notch talent from top to bottom.
Mission Hill created Mission Hill. Like, just...
Yeah,
Bill's resume reads wow. like a who's who of animated comedy.
Incredible!
It's great.
Incredible. And what? So, dinner party. What was the inspiration for the theme?
Well, Anthony, I gotta say, and this might be a little off-putting to some
Whoa,
people.
Okay,
listen,
brace yourself, people.
I love food.
Whoa.
I'm really into
hot
food.
Takes.
I love the Portland food scene.
Right, yeah.
I also think that there's this, like, weird preciousness about Portland food
right.
where sometimes, like, the best Portland food doesn't always take itself too seriously.
Right.
And I think the people who are making real, wonderful, unique stuff in
yeah.
this town all want to share their story
right.
and have fun. And I think that there's something magnetic about
mm-hmm.
The culinary scene here. It's one thing that people know
right.
internationally about right. Portland, and
it's a really easy connection point for everyone in the audience, really, because it's
absolutely.
Food is something that you have to eat.
Hey, some would say
biologically speaking,
yeah.
And it's obviously nice to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's I love it, and I'm a big, like, gotta check out the new openings and closings.
Right.
I gotta check out the closings.
Yeah.
Well, gotta get in
yeah.
there.
The service is terrible.
Support while you can.
Yeah.
And it's tough out there, man.
Yeah. It notoriously is difficult, the restaurant business.
Yeah.
Obviously, totally made easier by COVID.
Yeah,
I heard
so
the restaurant.
Easier.
I mean, it's so easy to open one and keep it successful.
Dude, I went to the Brooklyn Coretta carts yesterday
yeah.
for lunch.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
to brag.
Yeah. Okay.
I went there and went to one of the carts and. Just, like, one of the, you know, DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever,
yeah.
drivers was just like, I don't know what to say, man. The order's canceled. It's not on my phone anymore. Just, like, seeing this argument
yeah.
with the person, I'm just like, this industry sucks.
This.
It's, like, it's foul.
Yeah.
It's unfair. And
yeah.
so one of the reasons I wanted to start the show, too, with my improv team for
right.
Ginger,
yeah.
Really awesome group of people.
Incredible.
We love
yeah.
each other. We've been performing improv together for a while
yeah.
now. We want to do a show because it's also a connection and an amplification of
yeah.
Portland food.
Right.
And our goal, too, is get to meet the people behind some of your favorite bites, get
yeah.
to talk to some of your favorite, like, Portland food influencers and
yeah.
content creators. We've had Sloppy Joe, PDX, one of my all-time
yeah.
favorite Portland food personalities.
Love it.
Go, if you don't know, at Sloppy Joe PDX, go
Boom.
There right now. Give him a follow.
Unless you're driving, then safely pull over and go to Instagram.
No, I don't.
Whoa.
I use your phone while you're driving.
Oh, my
gosh. If you get in trouble, talk to me.
You heard it here.
We got a comment.
Line cooks need not apply.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh.
If you're a line cook.
I think
cook,
they have the most stories,
You
maybe.
Got lots of stories.
You got lots
you know,
of stories.
I know a line cook that had a pretty great career that went by the name of Anthony Bourdain.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah, some would say he has a biopic coming out this year, which is true. Can't wait.
What no one was asking for in a world.
Yeah. I'm there.
I mean, you're
I'm
front row living room theater. You're reserving that whole row.
If I'm watching Michael, you know I'm going to Anthony a couple of times.
Who's playing?
I don't know. I bet it's announced, but it's probably what's his face. The bear.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was.
I mean, it would be the worst possible.
Yeah, but that's
choice.
That's what they would do.
Yeah, there's no way he wasn't
coming,
offered it.
Right, absolutely. And he's coming off one the bear and two, the Bruce Springsteen biopic.
And also,
so he's got
yes.
that experience.
And just to like let's totally stop talking about my show, The Dinner Party, at 8:30 p.m.
Yes.
tonight at Kickstand
right.
Comedy, which you should come to say. Hey, the bear dropped a secret episode.
I heard that.
Talking prequels.
Whoa. Was it a prequel?
This is before the bear series started episode. So this is Evan Moss Bacharach, Ben Grimm from Fantastic Four.
It's all connected.
He and what's his face from Walking Dead and The Punisher,
Bernthal,
who plays the original bear brother who passes away before the series starts. It's an episode, a bottle episode, that's an industry term, about their relationship before the bear.
So what you should do is Saturday,
tomorrow.
Dinner party's at 8:30.
Dinner party's at 8:30 p.m. tonight. So I'd even
Come to
the dinner party tonight when you can't get a seat there because it's sold out.
Right.
Then go home and watch the prequel episode.
Or appetizer, maybe from 6:30 to 7:30. You hit that episode a little appetizer. Get you riled up, and then you go. I'm ready for some dinner party.
Flowing through my veins. I got mustard in my arteries. Alternatively, at comedy shows, I will be the first to tell you. You should generally put away your phone. I'll say when you go to a comedy show, when you see live art, put away your phone.
Yep.
Tonight only. If you are watching the prequel to The Bear during our show,
out loud, without headphones,
it's in play.
You
heard it here first. I am allowing you to come to the dinner party comedy show tonight, 8:30 p.m. at Kickstand Comedy.
Yep.
And if you are watching, and it has to be the prequel episode, it has to be the new episode that just dropped this week. But if you're watching The Bear on full volume on your phone without earbuds, it's allowed.
No one, safe space. No one can get mad at you.
No.
Okay, so now I believe it's on Hulu.
Yes, it is. Well, shout out to one of our main sponsors here at Kickstand.
Huge, friend of the show. Friend of the show. Thoughts on if they have.